62 degrees. And a busy schedule, so I'm going to stay right with it. And we are joined by School Superintendent Joy Hoffmeister. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be here in Bartlesville.
Well, and we're happy to have you. I know you've got a busy schedule. Probably the thing for, I think, many people, the forum this afternoon, 1:30 to 2:30 over at Tri-County Tech. And I'll tell you, the folks from Peak cover the issues very well. I think you're probably going to have to be on your toes a little bit, but you're used to that.
I'm up for it. Absolutely.
And, two principals and a National Honor Society student, so you're going to be up for that. So
yes.
Making the tour, what's your message going to be today?
Well, really just articulating the needs of Oklahoma kids. We have a new plan. It's an 8-year plan, long-term plan for education.
Okay.
And we want to work to give Oklahoma kids a competitive edge. So the name of our plan is Oklahoma Edge. We want to be on the leading edge for innovations in the classroom, as well as making certain that we are better preparing our kids when they graduate high school to be able to go on to college or career tech without any need of remediation. So that would be taking high school classes again while they're in college, but paying tuition to do that. That delays graduation from college, and we need kids ready to go from day one.
And so I know it's a message I heard from John Ford for year in and year out, I think, every time we, because something that he was passionate about, that, well, still is. I didn't mean to talk to you, John, about in the past tense. Good morning, Senator.
Thank you, Charlie. It's good to be here, but it's especially good to have the superintendent here.
Spending as much time with her as we can. You're going to be over at Arvest Bank Friday Forum at 10. I'm sure you're going to have a good audience for that.
Hey, we started early. We were at Vera for breakfast with some community leaders and have just been at the high school talking with the district administration. What great people and great board members leading this community.
We do have a good board. Thanks so much. And they are plugged into the community. And many of them have got students in the system, so they're seeing it firsthand.
Yeah.
Just like the medical community, it seems like schools are always in a constant improvement mode. What can we do better? How can we better meet the needs of the students and at the same time the employers that are eventually going to employ those students?
Yeah. Well, I think we have to look at the evidence, and that is what they do in medicine or in healthcare industry. We all are operating based on new research and confirming research, and what that says is that we learned our kids are having to pay about $22 million after high school for classes in college that they should have already mastered while they were still in high school. So we are redefining the senior year, making sure that prior to getting there, our kids have an opportunity to have the ACT or even the SAT, whichever their district chooses, in high school, free of charge. And that will also be something that they can earn scholarship opportunities for. Mm-hmm. We have to give certain tests. That's required by state and federal law. We just felt it was best to have a tool that we would invest in that actually has value for students after they graduate.
Well, certainly Oklahoma is not alone in using a test like the ACT. I don't know how many, but quite a few states already use it. And it's an opportunity. If you've already taken it, then you're probably going to get a better score.
That's
and
right.
if it's your first look, then you're still going to use those test-taking skills.
So what's really changed now is that we are looking at our performance in school on our end of year test for grades 3 through 8 as a similar benchmark, a kind of a national yardstick applied to those results so that they match up with the ACT, SAT results. So we will see a drop in the way our students have been performing when they receive those test results after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. We have higher, more rigorous standards that have been taught for the very first time last year. Mm-hmm. And then those new academic standards were tested, and families are going to receive the information about how their children are doing after Thanksgiving. It's a little late, but there's a reason for that. Anytime you start something new, it takes a little longer to do it right, and that is coming to families now. We are wanting families to understand as well that the term proficient doesn't mean meets grade level as it has for decades. Mm-hmm. Instead, proficient now means on track for college or career readiness without need for any remedial courses when they go on after that graduation time. So that's very different. So we'll be able to show families if their third grader is on track for college and career readiness, and that's new.
And I think that's probably a guideline that many parents would probably prefer to be measured on.
Absolutely. And what this also does is it allows our schools and teachers and families to learn where a student might be in a more transparent way with those results that can be, a gap could be closed while they're still little. And while that gap is a little bit smaller, every year that we let that continue without the community or family being able to help with closing that, it makes it harder to make a change in the future. And, one thing I want to mention, in Oklahoma, we have only had about half of our students going on after high school to any kind of post-secondary education. And that has to change because the jobs of the future are going to require more than a high school diploma. But when only half of our students are going on, that leaves half behind. And we want to make sure all students are prepared and ready.
And that is, I think, somewhat of a surprising number. I think we would assume that two-thirds or more, at least, we're moving on to something post-secondary.
Yeah, that's right.
Post-high school, I mean.
And that's just not happening. In fact, one of the things we also realized is that of the 11th graders who would typically take the ACT in their 11th grade year, Oklahoma only had half of the students doing that. So out of a class of 44,000 juniors across the state, only 22,000 were taking that on their own. So we changed the law with Senator Ford's help and also allowed a replacement of the old tests of the past to now mean that all students get this opportunity for free, and it satisfies a testing requirement while we do it.
But that means that the numbers that we look at for the state as a whole are going to change, because in the past, if I'm inferring correctly,
yes,
the students who choose to take the test are probably college bound, as opposed to the entire population taking the test.
Yeah, you're right. There is a dip that we expect. We think it will take about 18 months for that to rebound. But there are some surprising bright spots in this process. We have a large number of students who have taken it for the very first time and scored over 30 on the ACT. Those are kids who had never taken it before, had no idea that they had the scholarships within reach to go on to college and not have to pay for that.
So there's some lessons learned along the way.
Absolutely.
Like medicine, like science, like a lot of other things, the high school student, or teachers rather, are standing on the shoulders of those students. They're teachers in kindergarten, first grade. That's part of why you're looking at some of that early intervention. Right?
We are. And the other focus is this. Instead of having tests that we take after a class is finished, what we called in the past end of instruction tests, we're asking our families and our teachers and students to learn for the long run. We want them to build a deep foundation. So when you take the ACT, for instance, in math, it's integrated with many different math topics. Algebra 1, even pre-algebra is part of the ACT. Geometry, Algebra 2, trigonometry. So all of that is expected to have been built in a foundation to be used later. And this is something that we are really moving toward a more integrated approach. And again, it's about building momentum year after year after year.
And I think our approach to that particular test certainly has changed over the years. Back in the dark ages when I took it, it was one of these, you can't study for it, you're just going to go in, do your best, we'll see how you do. Obviously now, I had Tri-County Tech on an hour ago. They're offering ACT prep the week before the test is given so that you can pick up some of those tips.
Well, and that can help a little, but one thing to think about is if you took pre-algebra in middle school, you still have to have it mastered.
Yeah.
You still have to know Algebra 1 and Geometry and Algebra 2. So this, again, is about a deep a level of learning that persists beyond the course. And that's how we want to approach science as well. We're not just going to test biology. Now it's biology, chemistry, physics, physical and life science, because our students need to be prepared for careers in STEM. And we know many of them aspire to go into these fields, but they are missing the qualifications to be able to begin those courses that actually earn college credit.
Mm-hmm. And so really you're preparing the entire student for a lot of different choices.
We are, and we also have added to this something called ICAP, which is Individual Career Academic Plan. So all students, as a graduation requirement, starting in elementary, middle, and high school, will have the exposure to lots of different career fields, begin to move to a place of identifying what their interests might be, developing a passion, and learning what they would like to study much earlier and what courses they need to accomplish and achieve in high school to be able to do that. So an example would be, if you want to be an engineer and you've heard about engineering, then we need to be sure we're in Algebra 1 in 7th or 8th grade so that we can get to calculus before we finish high school. That can't just be a decision that's made your junior year.
And I think that's been done for a long time, but maybe not in every place, not all the time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Bartlesville has a great model for preparing students. But we also know that we have members of our schools and families that have just moved mm-hmm. to our communities. So we want to make certain that there are no children falling through the cracks, that everyone has a plan. And after all, a goal without a plan is just a wish. We need to do more than dreaming about something or hoping that it happens. Writing pen to paper a plan and then working the plan.
So as far as everything, particularly on like the ACT or SAT, depending on which take your test or both, does that also include an increased emphasis in, let's say, writing and the rest of the disciplines, the arts, everything else?
Yeah, that's a great point. So actually, when we wrote new academic standards for English and reading, it does include writing as one of those standards. So what that means is when our children take the ACT, SAT, or any of those earlier 3 through 8th grade tests, they include writing. Before, that had been a standalone test. Now that's integrated and part of our standards, and it's taught every day as part of the instruction in classrooms across the state. And we need to keep that as a very strong emphasis because really we have seen a decline in writing ability, and this is what makes for a well-rounded student and one who will be successful after they move on. Soft skills are important, and part of those employability skills that we want all of our kids to have, being responsible, being able to arrive on time, complete assignments, work together as teams, also writing and expressing oneself is a part of that. And we're focusing more on a well-rounded education, not just math or reading or a test score. It's got to be about the arts as well and community engagement.
You've talked a lot about some of the changes that are underway. As far as when parents see this, probably the next report that they get, they will see those being integrated into what they see.
They will. And just keep in mind, new standards taught for the very first time. This is a total reset year. We can't compare. Maybe your child was advanced last year and may only be at a level called proficient, the level just below that. That doesn't mean that our children are any less capable or amazing, or that our teachers are less dedicated. Our schools are working tremendously hard to do actually more with less. And they are doing great things. We are simply going to have a more of a national yardstick when we talk about how do we make certain that our kids are competitive and that they're able to do whatever they want.
Well, I'm sure you're going to be able to expand on that at the RVS Forum. And of course, 1:30 to 2:30 this afternoon, Tri-County Tech at the Event Center. And three questionnaires on that. Like I said, two principals and a high school senior will be asking the questions. John Ford, any final comments here before we send you on your way to RVS?
Absolutely. And I would just like to share with the listeners how proud I am that Joy is our state superintendent. What she's accomplished in the last 3 years, the vision that she has set for this next year and for the years beyond, is what we need in Oklahoma, and also how proud I am of the Bartlesville Public School System and what we're doing. But to demonstrate her dedication, and Joy's here with her husband today, and today is their 33rd anniversary, and she's up here with us talking about education. She is a dedicated public servant, and Joy,
I think we could probably find a restaurant someplace you can go out for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
I can think of at least several places.
I don't think she wants to go with me.
Well, you know, we believe in public schools as well, and believe in the fact that parents are their child's first teacher.
Well, I was talking with Lieutenant Governor yesterday, and he said to relay his greetings.
Oh,
and thank
very
you for
good.
Coming to Bartlesville today.
Thank you.
Okay. Joy Hoffmeister with us this morning, and you can hear more at Arvest at 10, and of course the forum 1:30 to 2:30 this afternoon at Tri-County Tech. Bruin Buzz with the athletic director on the way in just a bit.
Hi, I'm Janelle Hale, founder and CEO of the National Breast Cancer Foundation. Early detection saved my life. It could save yours too. I was only 34 years old and the mother of three when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I was forced to make a decision about my health with few options. After my treatment, I made a commitment to provide help and